And like you said, TJ, angel and devil on the shoulder. I think it's pretty obvious here which one is which.
Yes, it is.
This one is very obvious. One of them's in all red.
All she's mentioned is a pitchfork and a tail.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Charge It to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Lovegood, Luna's favorite cousin. I cannot wait to go to bed after this. And I'm joined by my co-host, Gingy, my love, and BBL Tizzy.
Yo. I can't text you, man. Like, you can't be using my words against me.
That was our intro this week.
Oh, God.
This week, we are discussing Game of Thrones Season 3, Episode 8, Second Sons. Aired on May 19th, 2013, written by David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, directed by Michelle MacLaren, so back-to-back episodes for her, and had a rating of 5.13 million, so we're up from last week.
It's because last week's episode was good.
We are in the home stretch now. All right, Ginge, I guess we'll get into it. Do you guys want to just jump right into it?
Yeah. Are we on a time limit on this podcast since you gotta go to bed? Like, what are you, 40?
I've been up since 3 a.m. If you remember, I am the baker. My job starts at 5.
All right, this is our time to ask for sponsors. If anybody's out there listening, they know anybody that can, like, sponsor us and, you know, pay us to do a podcast, let us know, please.
Yeah, because as of right now, I do pay $15 a month to do this podcast.
Look, I will even stoop as low as reading an ad for Viagra at this point.
That's timely. Somebody probably could have used some of that in this episode.
Indeed. Indeed. But yeah, I'll read it. Why not? Ain't no shame in my game.
I've actually seen you do reading for a commercial, and please don't.
Yeah, that was off a teleprompter. That don't count. They couldn't get the speed right for me.
Right, that's what it was.
Look, they got the... This is what happens when you get the free version of something. When you get the free version of the teleprompter, you can't set your own speed. You either got fast as shit or slow as hell. Like, it ain't no in between. Pay for the fucking premium. Pay for the premium always.
It's usually worth it.
Just like I'll do after this. Zoom premium, here we come.
All right, you guys ready to get into it?
Let's do it.
All right, well, we could start in the Riverlands. Second Sons, the Hound. Honorable mention, Second Daughters.
Yo, what a moment.
Oh,
he has such a soft spot for the Stark girls.
He really does. But like, if you had one shot and one opportunity to cross a name off your list, would you capture it?
Depends. I think when she was holding that rock, her palms were sweaty, knees were weak, arms were heavy.
All she was missing was the vomit on her sweater.
Did they have spaghetti back then?
I mean,
I don't think so.
Maybe. And her mom ain't around, so I don't know who spaghetti it'd be.
But yeah, she had the opportunity. She had means and opportunity. Nothing between them but air.
I'm telling you now, like, if you ever get in a fight and somebody tells you, like, go ahead and throw the punch, and then they say, you better make it count, because if you don't kill me, I'm going to break your fucking hands, or whatever it says to her, like, don't throw that punch. Like, unless you are 100% sure.
At least that, not with the rod.
Yeah, like,
I feel unless like if you're 100% needle, sure, she would have done it.
Right, through the neck, yeah.
But if she had needle, he wouldn't have said, I'll take a shot, you get one shot.
I don't know, I feel like he would have.
He sees dollar signs right now. Get that paper.
Also true.
Yeah, because she thinks she's going back to King's Landing, but he's going to sell her back to her family. We're headed to the twins. For what? Oh, there's a wedding.
I do got one question for you. Oh, go ahead, James. And then I'll ask my question.
Arya looked real relieved when she said that, or when the Hound said that he was taking her to Rob.
The smile on her face.
Yeah, that smile.
So with that smile, here comes my question for you. Is he now off her list? Next time we hear her list, do you think we're going to hear his name?
Yes.
Okay.
I think she's just going to use him as a means to an end.
And let me just preface this. I forgot the answer to this, my own question, so I'll find out with you. But I forgot to go ahead and ask it. Yeah, I forgot. I don't know. I don't know if we're here or not, but it's a good question to ask.
That's a good question. So he does bring up, like, keeping on the theme of the episode, he does bring up how his brother is worse than him.
He does.
And for just a second, I want to say, like, second daughters have it easier. Like,
okay, I can.
Eldest daughters.
I have two sisters, and you're right.
Yeah, eldest daughters have it the worst. Second daughter.
I have two sisters, and you're right. My older sister couldn't do anything, and my younger sister got away with murder. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, my mom had two sisters, and she was the oldest of three sisters, and then they had a little brother. Like when my mom was 18, so. She spent a lot of her life taking care of other people as the oldest sister.
Yep. So did my sister.
Huh?
Yep.
And then, like, when my grandma needed to be cared for, my mom was the one that did it. So Arya is lucky. You're right, the Hound. She is lucky. Because, you know, being a second son sucks. But being a first daughter, I'd rather be a second son. That was my feminist rant this week.
I think it's important too that like he tries to, like he's really just gaining her trust here. Like even with the story with Sansa, that he gives her, how he saved her from being raped.
And he really is like, I love the Hound. I love the Hound. Ginge, you're not convinced of it.
Oh, no. Hound's like, I don't know. He's definitely different than what he was in season one.
Okay.
Kind of like how, like, Tyrion's kind of turned around.
Jamie's, I feel like the Hound's around. The Hound's really different in season one because he talks more in season one. Like, they really have this, like, this arc for him. It's like, in season one, like, he didn't seem like a main character at all. And he really didn't get that until the Battle of Blackwater, really.
Yeah.
When, like, once you say fuck the king, like, you might as well just become the main character anyway.
That's a big one.
Especially this king. Fuck this king.
Well, they're headed to the twins. Do you think... What do you think, Ginge? Like, it's going to be a smooth handover?
No. Like, I don't see Rob and them being like, yeah, we'll pay you. Like, I don't see that at all.
Now that you say that, let me ask the question. Number one, do they make it? Do they make it to the twins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the Hound can handle himself enough to make it to the twins.
Okay.
All right.
I was hoping you'd say no, because then I'd follow up, but we'll keep it at one question.
Nah, I don't.
Let's go to Yunkai. Second sons. Capitalized. It's a proper noun. Because we got to meet them. Oh boy. This was fun.
Yeah, and got my dude in it. Ed Skarim, or however you say his last name. The blonde-headed guy?
Wait.
He's a villain. He's like a villain in like everything he does. And he's a great villain.
I think you mean
he was the bad guy in Deadpool, the first.
What's his name? Ed
Dario.
Ed Skarim.
Oh, that's Dario.
Yeah, don't get used to him.
Yeah, don't get used to him.
Like, I hate him, but he plays a good villain. Okay. So I like him.
Okay, I've seen him in a... Yeah, I've seen him.
Yeah.
In what?
Deadpool.
He was the villain in the first Deadpool. He was... He was in the Rebel Moon, which is Zack Snyder's movies on Netflix that are average. They're not that great, but they were good enough to watch.
Take that, Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
All right. How does... Never mind. I ain't going to ask the question. Never mind. I was going to say, how does season 4 begin with him? Is it the scene with him holding the swords? Is that season 4 or is that...
Yeah, I think that is the one.
Okay, and that's when, like, it threw me off so much when they changed actors here.
It didn't bother me so much because, like,
it doesn't bother me either because the next guy is, like, the perfect Dario.
Wait, they changed him?
Yeah.
That's why we said don't get used to him.
I thought you meant, like, the character was going to get killed off.
No.
Not spoiler, that the actor was going to
He'll be back. He makes it to season 4 at least.
Yeah, we won't be asking you about that in the recap episode because.
Yo, let me ask you a question. Here's a question for you. As a guy, you start to get real bold when you start to see like hair on your chest, something. I don't know. At what point do women like start to seem real bold when they're talking to somebody?
Yo, because she is mad bold here.
Oh, like.
Like, does it take three dragons to get bold, or is this like?
Three dragons, a good therapist.
I think it helps that she's gone through two cities and destroyed those cities. So now she's kind of like feeling like how Rob was. Rob's never lost a battle. So, you know, his head on high. She's never lost a battle.
Her and head's if you on remember, high. She was trying to do a lot of bartering in season 2. Like, she was like she tried to get those men on her side. And when she realized she couldn't, she was like, I'll just take what you have.
Yeah. Yeah, she ain't fucking with nobody. Like, it's either give it to me or I'll just kill you in the process.
Period. That's what it is. And Meryl? Oh, absolutely disgusting. I don't know, like, how I didn't remember how gross he is. Because, like, when he first came on screen, I wrote down, I was like, oh, that's right, he's fine. And then he kept talking. And I went back and crossed it out and just wrote, never mind.
Yeah, I do remember how, like, cringeworthy he is. Like it's bad.
Yeah, oh, but as he was saying all his bullshit, I put on my notes, men are disgusting.
I don't know. Don't group us in there.
I mean, it's pretty a common theme in this show.
Nah, man, some of us are wholesome.
Majority of the men are.
Some of us are wholesome. Yeah, some of us have not discussed Daenerys' ass at all in this entire podcast.
Aren't you the same person who said you follow her because you saw her naked? Look,
this is not the time for you to show that you have a good therapist and be bold, all right?
I was told there would be no fact checking. Anyway, Arrow's absolutely fucking disgusting. Like, kill him right now, Grey Worm, please.
Yo, Grey Worm don't play no games either.
Buddy, like, and like, it's the way that she handled it, because I know, like, he was really trying to get that rise out of her. He was really trying, like, it was not in the way that Jamie does it, because Jamie does the same thing.
Yeah.
Is less, like, overt and disgusting about it. Like, him, oh, I wanted him dead immediately. Like, I cannot believe I forgot how bad this is. But Danny's better than me.
Yeah, I think
I would have cut him out if he lost his head then.
And then I think it's cool to see that Dario does his homework, because she's talking about something. She has 10,000 unsullied, and he was like, nah, it's actually only 8. So there's that. And then my question for you, James, who does Daenerys respect more at this point? Barristan or Jorah? Like, who is her lead advisor now?
That's a good question.
Because, like, it seems to be that she is now starting to lean one way.
Well, could be the fact that Jorah has feelings and she knows that.
Yeah.
She thinks that he's going to be making decisions off of those rather than off of what needs to be done.
And it could be that, you know, Barristan had a position, took like a 4-year break, ran again, gets, and now he's reelected.
Yeah.
That could be it too. It's almost, I don't even know if this was like intentional, and I'll have to like really pay attention from now on. Whenever you see like the person, they have the angel on one shoulder, the devil on the other shoulder, it's always like they're on the one side. And this is what it kind of reminds me of. Like, is Jorah the devil on her shoulder and Barristan's the angel on her shoulder? So now I'm going to start to pay attention to where they're standing every time that they're around each other.
That's an interesting point. But also worth noting, Dario is completely in love with Daenerys after this conversation. Like, it's all in his face. He's emotional now.
Imagine looking at somebody one time and being like, I will give up my entire life for you.
Just wait till I meet Michael B. Jordan.
Why not Michael Jordan? No, without the B.
I don't like men who wear baggy pants. That's
in 2024. keep it fitted.
Michael Jordan suits. I feel like that's the name of this episode for sure. So the Second Sons have gone to regroup and fuck. Neat. And now Titan's Bastard is exactly that, a bastard. And Dario Naharis apparently is a whore who doesn't like whores.
He's got a really nice knife, though.
You're always going to notice.
Did you notice the knife, Lauren?
I sure didn't.
Me either.
How you not notice a knife? Like, the camera, the camera focuses theme. On it.
What a fucking theme we have. I noticed a sickle later on. That's about it.
But Dario is sure to tell his brothers and the Second Sons that he fights for beauty. So, I mean, foreshadowing.
He did kind of tell them, like.
Yeah, he also knows that, like, they cannot beat 8,000 Unsullied. It's simply not going to fucking happen. So what do they do? We'll
come up with the plan.
We'll just kill her. Let's draw coins. Now, these coins. One from Marine, one from Volantis, one from Bravos.
Bravos.
Okay. The Bravosi coin looks absolutely nothing like the Bravosi coin Arya was given. And, like, they focused on it. On, like, that coin got a close-up.
It did.
Perhaps.
Why was the one Arya given round? Wasn't hers round?
Yeah.
This one was, like, diamond-shaped? Yeah,
Well, maybe it's worth different. You know, our nickels and dimes and quarters are different sizes.
Sizes, not shapes.
All right, well, this is a fantasy world, so maybe there's a shapes.
Honestly,
maybe they got a triangle one.
Honestly, with inflation, maybe we'll get the fucking $1,000 coin soon in the shape of a diamond. Print it now.
Maybe
I guess not print it, but weld it or something. I don't know.
Weld it.
Whatever the term is for that shit. As you can see, I don't work with my hands. But do whatever you do. Just, you know.
But yes, they could be different denominations, but
it'd be weird if they did that, because we focused on two coins and they're both different.
Like, is that what you really think is going on, that they're different denominations?
Personally, I didn't even pay attention that it was the same, supposed to be the same coin as what was given to Arya.
Yeah, that is probably something you catch on, like, the fifth or sixth watch through that you have, because this is the first time I even thought about it.
But he did just clock us about a knife. Like, he did just clock us
about a knife. He did clock us about a knife. Yo, let's apply the pressure. I hope your therapist hears this and she understands that her money, like what you're paying her and the service she's given, is work. Apply pressure.
And I do want to point out, he got that coin and said what? Balor Morghulis.
Balor, yeah, Balor Morghulis.
Hmm? Huh?
I told you that is legit the assalamu alaikum of Game of Thrones. Like, you might not even know what that shit means, but you know the saying.
Wow. All
right, hold on. So, question. Valor Morghulis is what language?
Valyrian.
Okay. Now, when Daenerys was speaking to the translator chick in Valyrian, does that mean he would have known that, or he would have known what she had said to him? Or do you think he just only knows Valor Morghulis?
He probably only knows C.
Yeah. Because okay. I don't know any Arabic, but I know Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know Spanish, but I know hola.
We are so cultured on this show. Oh my God. We speak so many languages.
Six or something like that.
I only speak two languages, good English and bad English. And I'll give each of you $1 if you know what movie that's from.
For $1, I don't even know if it's worth my guess.
I feel like I've heard it. No, I've heard. Oh.
I think I've heard it too.
Probably not. A lot of people ain't seen this movie.
When you tell me.
A lot of people ain't seen it.
What is
it? It's The Fifth Element.
Okay, I've not seen
Bruce,
that.
Bruce Willis and Chris Tucker and Mila Jovovich. It's a good movie. I like it a lot. But
oh, is that like the Christmas movie?
No, it's not a Christmas movie.
What movie am I thinking of that has Chris Tucker and Bruce Willis? It's like a, like the end is like during Christmas.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie, but that's not Chris
Yeah,
Tucker.
But that's not Chris Tucker.
Maybe I'm running these movies together. Who knows?
Maybe.
Likely.
But it was
more
a,
than likely.
It's a sci-fi movie. Like, it takes place in space and stuff. Gary Oldman's in it as well.
If you had done the Alien opera song, I would have gotten it, because I've seen that part.
I've never heard of that shit.
Yeah.
Did you think he was going to kill her, Ginge? Like, did you think when you saw him walking into camp, were you like, oh, no, this is it for her?
Well, let's just say I did not expect the outcome that did happen.
Okay.
Now, I wasn't sure if he was actually going to kill. Like, I don't know if, like, something would have happened. But I was not expecting him to just drop heads.
Correct. I think, if I can remember back to my first watch through, I didn't think that he would kill her, but I thought there would be some, like, bartering going on.
Yeah, something.
Turns out, though, she's super fucking hot. So, fuck these guys. Am I right?
I just, yeah, fuck them. And really, he makes the right decision because you want to be on the winning team.
Right?
Yes. Like, if you're in gym class and you're losing all day and they want you to come to the other team, like, you ain't going to say, you know what, I'm going to stick with these losers. I'm going over.
Exactly.
See y'all. Bye.
Now, the question is, are the rest of the Second Sons going to follow this man after he just killed the other two leaders?
Let me ask you a question. If you were in the army and you had two bosses and one of them killed the other and just had their heads in a bag,
I'm out.
What are you doing?
I'm going AWOL.
I'm too scared to leave.
Like,
I'm staying.
Like, nah, like that's not right.
No. I'm gonna stick it out.
Okay, what if you know that the boss he killed was a gross, disgusting, horrible human being?
Yeah, but I feel like all the Second Sons are like that. Like, they're
but
just
we
hired
met,
mercenaries.
We only met three.
Yeah, but they're just hired mercenaries.
Two of them, but two of them weren't like that.
Yeah, we've met the leaders, which means, like, objectively, these would have to be the worst of them because they're sellswords. So these would have to be the three worst of them. So if he killed the other two worst, and I know that you're already worse than me, I guess I'm just going to keep following you. I'm already following you.
Hmm. Hmm.
And I cannot beat 8,000 Unsullied.
Right, which is why I would go AWOL. I would just bye, see y'all.
Oh man, you gotta be Forrest Gump and follow that man like he's Lieutenant Dan. Like, do not leave his side.
Yeah. This is not about honor. This is about money. These are sell swords, not pledge swords. Well, I
All
mean,
right, here's the next question. Now that we say that they're sell swords, who's paying them?
Masters were paying them, and now Danny's going to be paying them.
Is she going to pay them? Because she has no intentions to pay these motherfuckers.
Well,
she just
she
said
might.
Join the crew.
She might pay them.
They are on a liberation tour. Like, join the crew. We freeing slaves.
She told
also them. True.
She said, like, this is the last contract you'll ever need.
Right. So what
Which
I'm
is,
thinking
just
is,
join me and we're freeing slaves, and we're just going to grow the shit until we take over the
nah,
world.
I think she's going to use them all to ransack the city and then use whatever riches are in the city to pay the Second Sons. And
yeah.
then steal their boats and go across.
Yeah, they're going to get all the gold they were pledged because we're going to beat the guys who said they would give you that gold.
All right, so here's my next question for you, James. She now has 10,000 men. Is she ready to cross the sea?
Is a pretty good number. Especially since I can't remember how many.
Well, Rob had what? 20,000 at one time? No.
But that was at the beginning.
The Lannisters had 20,000 at one time in the beginning. Right?
Yeah. And you pretty much don't have to worry about Stannis' army anymore.
Stannis' army's wiped out.
And then who cares about the Greyjoys?
But the Lannisters also have the Southern army now, which was like they have half of that, which was 100,000.
Oh, yeah, they do have.
They've still got all those people.
Yeah, they still got at least 2,000, 4,000 from Highgarden.
Yeah. But they don't have the house cats. They ain't got these little dragons that tie when things are little.
Also true.
They're scaring grown men on the other side of the world.
I also feel like if Daenerys did come across, I feel like Rob would help her. Because Rob isn't for, he doesn't want the throne, he wants Joffrey. She wants the throne, Joffrey's in the way of that, so I feel like they have, you know, my enemy of my enemy is my friend type deal.
Yes, I don't think Rob would help her because of events that happened prior to the war, prior to her family losing their dynasty. Like, shit happens with the Targaryens and the Starks, and I just don't think Rob, if Rob knows the story, I don't think Rob helps her.
I think I'm with Gingy.
You think so?
I think I'm with Jen.
Even
like,
based off
even,
of what her brother
well,
did.
But what we've seen
did.
What we've seen throughout the show is like Rob has already lost track of what he was doing in the first place. So now he's like desperate for more men since the Karstarks left.
You're right. But to TJ's point, like Rob is his father's son. Through and through, down to the marrow.
And Rob's wife might say, like, we ain't helping her. She looked too good.
I know how you feel about foreigners.
Yeah. Nah, she can go on her merry way.
Well, who's ready to go to Dragonstone? Second Sons, the heir and the spare.
There in the spare.
Mm-hmm. Guess what? Gendry's here. Surprise, Ginge.
Yes.
Okay. You're surprised.
Why she brought him there now, though, not surprised.
Okay. Like, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I just have one question. The painted table where Stannis is standing, right? In House of the Dragon, it seems
it's
like
lit.
It's in a much more prominent area, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is not the room. Okay.
This is not the same room. They moved this table.
Moved. Yeah,
they moved this table out the House of the Dragon. They didn't need it anymore. They put that shit in the back room somewhere.
Okay.
And they're just too lazy to move it back.
And I also love the shot of the scrolls because, like, it goes back to the House of the Dragon finale where you have that shot of Rhaenyra. with all the scrolls around her. And I'm like, are those the same scrolls? Wow. Connection. I love it. But Stannis gets a good look at his nephew. And that's very much a, yeah, you're Bobby's boy, all right.
Yeah, it was.
And that,
I don't really see it, but we didn't see Robert when he was fit.
Yeah.
So what they need to do is give us the Game of Thrones shorts. And just let Gendry play Robert. Let that actor play Robert. And boom. It'll all make sense.
Yep. Well.
But yeah, Gendry's sent out. But don't worry. Melisandre will be in to see you later. Can't wait to get there. But before that, we have to talk about, like, how we're definitely just going to slaughter him, right?
Yeah.
Like, if there you're going to kill him, get it over with.
Nah, can't just kill a lamb. You got to make them feel good first, or else it's going to poison their meat. Which I've heard that before. Like, before watching Game of Thrones, I've heard that.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it would make sense. But, oof, like Gendry's a person, a human being, and we're just going to slaughter him for what? I don't know. So...
So what do you do when you think that somebody's going to slaughter somebody? Do you go back to your former guy?
Precisely. That was my question. Is this Stannis looking for a level head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Davos says it. You came down here on this specific day when this specific thing is going on because you knew I'd talk you out of it.
And if you don't know how to read and you're teaching yourself how to read, like, you got to be somewhat smart.
Yes, especially what you're teaching yourself how to read, because this is not...
How did you learn phonics?
Like, he pronounced enough. Do you know how hard enough is? Well, Davos does read something really interesting, another interesting point for House of the Dragon, which is that Vhagar was the smallest of the three dragons. And then you look at Vhagar versus the dragons that she was up against in the dance. And, like, yeah, how Vhagar's massive. So, like, how big was Beleriand the Dread if she was the smallest? It was just a really interesting point. Now that we've seen her, I really like doing this after House of the Dragon. But anyways, Davos sees the vision. I mean, at least Melisandre's vision for Gendry. Stannis, however, sees the vision.
We'll come back to that in the quote section.
Okay. All right.
Me too. Hopefully it's not the same one again.
I hope not. But Stannis does ask a good question. Like, how can you deny the Lord of Light? The Lord of Light, if you saw what you saw.
People deny God all the time.
How many people see a miracle hit, like, in front of their eyes, though? Or something, like, supernatural happening?
All right, so... some people might see something as a miracle, but some people will see it as just a coincidence or something, like, you know, that can't be explained, but doesn't mean that it's a god.
Yeah, but you can't really write off, I saw this woman birth a shadow demon.
I know, but I'm just saying, people deny God all the time, and there could be a miracle happening in their life, and they just so oblivious that they don't realize that it's God working in their life.
You're right. You're right. But I think this is, like, more extreme.
Just a touch. Just a little bit.
Like, I mean...
like, we are not seeing somebody turn water into wine.
So listen, all right? So Moses took all the Israelites across the Red Sea and split it in half, yet they still, after that, worshipped a golden calf.
Yo, that's because the motherfuckers dumb. You would see that today anyway. Like, they're Davos.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like,
golden calves or orange. Anyway, Stannis's vision that he saw in the flames was a great battle in the snow. Dany's vision that she saw in the House of the Undying was the Iron Throne covered in snow. Do you think these things are related?
Probably. Probably so, considering we know what's happening in the snow.
And we keep hearing
winter is coming.
One certain phrase, yeah, from a certain house.
My house. But anyways, guess what? Davos is free, and all he has to do is promise to never raise his hand to Melisandre. Cool, not a problem. I will clock that bitch's tea, though. I promise you that. And like you said, TJ, angel and devil on the shoulder. I think it's pretty obvious here which one is which.
Yes, it is.
This one is very obvious. One of us in all red.
All she's mentioned is a pitchfork and a tail.
Yeah.
Not in this part.
Let's get into Melly's plan then. First of all, I hate Gendry's goatee. That is first and foremost. I hate it. It is awful. Anyways, this looks like a real rags to bitches story for my boy. Unfortunately, it doesn't go down quite that way. Ginge? Now you knew
we thought she was gonna go down, but
you knew she had plans for him. Did you think that this is what the plan included?
Absolutely not.
A little dry.
Why would anybody in their right mind be like, oh yeah, they're gonna put leeches on the man's dick?
Yo, could you imagine?
No, I don't want to.
Let me ask you a question, James. Here's a real question for you. Did she at least lick the tip before she put the leech on there?
Hell no. Nah. She just said
she might have licked the tip to get the blood flowing.
No, I will say, okay, so did you think she was gonna poison him with the wine? Because like we can see her drink wine and know.
I did mention that. I was like, you can't trust that because we've seen her already drink wine and survive the poison. I did mention it.
And I do appreciate that them putting that in there. Like, that's a good point to put in.
And she says something like really big, that it's the real thing or it's not. Doesn't matter where it comes from. So like you either have king's blood or you don't. It doesn't matter where you were born.
And he needs to take the compliment too, because she did say when she looked down there, you got a lot of blood. Like, take the compliment. Take that one.
Anyway, Gendry lets his dick get him in trouble, and now he's covered in leeches. And
I also thought, though, before the leeches came out, that maybe she was going to do the whole demon baby thing again.
Did you think it would work better because he's young and
virile? Well, I was thinking, like, maybe because he's, you know, actual king's blood.
Okay. Well, only Gendry can stop the darkness that will swallow the dawn. And this is how they're going to do it. So what do you think is up with the burning of the leeches?
Well, he named all the kings when he threw them in the fire. So what I was really expecting was for whenever they show the next scenes with all the people, for something huge to happen. But unfortunately, it did not happen in this episode.
Now, let me ask you. Why do we keep getting the Greyjoy, Baelon, named as a king? Like, what are they doing?
Oh, a usurper. Because he's still king.
They're just going along the coast, ravaging little villages, making themselves feel big.
And we ain't seen them motherfuckers in a season and a half.
I will have something to say to you, TJ, with earmuffs next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do feel it. Like seeing the Greyjoys is kind of like dumb.
All right, so do you think this is him taking his shot at them? his magic shot?
Yes.
Do you
I was hoping that it was going to be like, we're going to skip the, like, this happens, and the next scene is going to show Joffrey, and then he's going to, like, randomly burst in flames.
Oh, so you thought this was like a voodoo
doll? Yeah!
he put the little prick in it.
So sorry to disappoint, actually. That would have been awesome.
That's what I'm saying. The whole time, you know, when we see Joffrey next, I'm sitting here like, yeah, something's gonna happen.
Yo, imagine if Joffrey does just like randomly burst like, explode. Flame.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
that's hilarious.
Imagine.
Because, like, was that you going, wait a minute, is this the thing? Is this the thing?
Is this what they've been telling me to wait for?
All season. I was watching it with Katie and I paused it. I know we're a little ahead, but I paused it in the next scene with Joffrey and them. And I was like, they've been telling me that I gotta wait for something, and I feel like this could be it.
And then I told him, I texted him and said, hey, I need to know what day and time you're watching episode 9. And that probably was like, okay, never mind.
Nope.
King's Landing. Second Sons. Tywin's second son takes a wife. Oh boy.
Yo, imagine on the day of your wedding, you go up to your bride and just be like, just so you know, I didn't ask for this.
Okay. You're still getting the good end of this deal. Cause I'm a tall drink of water. And you are a half man. But that's fine. At least
no, he's a shot of liquor.
At least
we're comparing it to cups.
You're right. At least you're nice, though. Like, at least you're nice. Like, you made...
Tyrion gonna be a good husband.
Okay. Well, I'll ask you questions about how you think this marriage is gonna go. Yeah, later. We'll get there for sure. But she does look gorgeous. Shay looks pissed.
But she showed some restraint.
Good for her. Mm-hmm. Good for her showing the restraint. Yeah.
She kind of has no choice.
Right? Because if I flip out, guess who dies? Just me.
Yo, can you imagine how unhinged she would be if she had three dragons? Game over.
Pretty much, because all those
dragons. Because you talk about somebody with some confidence. Who's her therapist?
I love it. She doesn't need one. She carries a knife.
She is the therapist.
She is. She takes good care of Sansa. Like, I'll give it.
You're right.
She's a girl's girl. She is a girl's girl. But yeah, it is. It might be a good thing that Sansa does not have a pet bunny, because she would boil it. I don't know. I know neither of you has seen Fatal Attraction, but it's a very, very timely pop culture reference. And old people will understand it if they are listening to this. Glenn Close, Michael Douglas.
Yeah, I know who's in it.
It's real. Yeah, he's cheating on his wife, and then he breaks up with her. So she boils his child's pet bunny. And the kid finds it. It's pretty sweet.
I mean, not really.
All right.
Shay is bunny. I'm just saying, Shay is bunny boiler. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Are we sure you're not a bunny boiler? Because the excitement in your eyes.
Let's have some wine today. You'll have some wine today, Sansa. Don't you fucking worry.
Yeah, you will.
But they head to the Sept, where we get a real cute Cersei and Margaery scene. Future sisters-in-law, future mother-in-law. I definitely call this Cersei quote in the sticker with the pointy ends.
Damn it.
Yes.
I want it.
Call this one.
All right, let me ask you, because this is the first time I put this all together. Is season 3 of Game of Thrones Game of Thrones the musical?
Because of all the, like,
different songs. Everything is based on a song of the season.
Maybe.
I mean, I think it's only two songs the entire time, but like it's literally the Baron and Maiden pair and Reigns of Casimir.
Yeah, music is used a lot in the third book. So, yeah.
This is indeed Game of Thrones the musical.
But Cersei gives us the rundown of exactly where the Reigns of Casimir came from. Ginge, what do you think of Tywin now?
I mean, it just solidified that, you know, he's a pretty bad dude.
A piece of shit.
He's a pretty bad dude.
Slaughtered the men, women, and children. See where clout chasing gets you? And your whole entire family, your lineage, you're gone. Just gone.
Just like that.
Ooh, Tywin Lannister does not fucking play. And everybody knows it because he silenced those people real quick. Anyways. Cersei and Marge is it's always gold.
It
but
is.
like this is where their relationship really takes that turn to where Cersei is outwardly like, I will fucking kill you. Like to where she's just outwardly sick of it. And she's like, I'm not even gonna like beat around the bush or be like messy and vague about it. Like, don't.
Chase the way that she walks, the way that she talks, the way that she dresses.
Period. Period. Now, do you think Cersei is the Kendrick in this situation?
She's very direct.
Okay.
She doesn't sneak this.
Okay. You're right. You're right.
Like, she started this song out by name. Yeah.
Well, Sansa can't even have her one fucking moment because Joffrey gets to walk her down the aisle. And then, so he gets to fuck with Sansa and Tyrion at the same time.
Yeah, how childish you gotta be to steal a stool? Like, what are you doing?
Every single time it pisses me off because, like, needlessly cruel, but that's who you are.
No, he and I feel bad for what's the actor's name? Jeffrey Gleason, something Gleason. Jackson. Yeah, I feel bad for him because he played this role so good. Nobody's ever gonna give him a job because you were a piece of shit.
He stopped acting after this and like
probably because nobody gave him a job. They're probably like, look, you are Joffrey. Like, I can't, like, what do you play?
Like, he stopped acting and went to Oxford, and I think he's now started acting again.
Like, what do we put this kid in a rom-com right after this? what are we doing? Like, what do you put him in?
He's definitely typecasted as a villain.
Oh, but, like, at this point, like, he's kind of, like, too young to play a villain in a big movie, but, like, not attractive enough to play, like a romance character.
He could play a villain in, like, BBC
what Teen Titans,
like teen BBC dramas. British Broadcasting Company.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, I hope so.
I read the BBC for my news.
I was gonna take a turn. I'm turning it low. I was gonna say I view BBC on the daily.
Your boss is listening.
Maybe.
Anyway, Tyrion.
My words and my views do not reflect my workplace.
Anyway, Tyrion brings Sansa under his protection. Everybody laughs because Tyrion is so small and Sansa has to kneel down. So, oh, great. Everybody's laughing.
Here's another thing. Why are we laughing? Like, this man is short. What else is he gonna do? Like, what? Like, why are we laughing at
that's
this?
That's the thing, is like Joffrey started it, so everybody else joined in, but Tywin shut that shit down.
Yeah, he did.
All right, so I have a question. I know that Ned is dead, but can they just decide to marry Sansa off without Ned or Kat?
Yes, let's go into my feminist rant. Number two.
Well,
number one, Sansa is not a person. She is property. She was property of her father, and then her father died and she became property of the crown, and now she is property of her husband. She is not her own person. She has no agency. None.
Okay.
So, like, she's property of the crown, so the hand can do with her as he pleases. And, like, honestly, yes, it could have been worse for her.
And when you don't have a backbone, this is where you're going to be.
Well, I mean, there's no point in having a backbone because this is a patriarchal society. You don't have the option of saying no. Like, no is not something that you're allowed to say, because you're, especially because you're a first daughter. You're Angelica Schuyler. You don't get to marry Alexander Hamilton because he's broke. You have to.
Yo, you said the word Angelica. My brain went straight to Rugrats.
Same.
Holy shit.
Same.
Yo, I'm sitting here like, first, like I'm trying to piece this shit together. My brain went straight to Rugrats.
Oh, same. But yes, no, they can do whatever because, like, now she's their property because she's just a girl, Gwen Stefani.
Okay.
Yeah. Feminist rant number two, done. So, who's ready to go to a wedding feast?
Let's do it.
I love a reception. I love parties.
Look, I love when somebody's brain is mathing and the math is making sense. Like Olena. Yo, she's doing the math.
Wait, I want to point out first, though, like, as Tyrion is dribbling wine on himself, they're playing the Bear and the Maiden Fair. I just don't know if anybody else caught that. I definitely caught that.
I did not catch that. But again, Game of Thrones musical season 3.
Exactly.
And it's funny. It's funny I bring that up and I didn't even catch this.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But yes, Lady OG is going down the family tree because what part of Alabama are these people from?
Right.
Like what we know for sure though is that the king, like, you will be the king's father-in-law. So your brother will be your father-in-law. That's what we know for sure. Sounds great. Sounds awesome. This rich people. This is rich people shit.
My uncle and my aunt are married and they're technically stepbrother sister. But they got married first. They got married first.
And then their parents got married?
And my uncle's mom and my aunt's dad, they made them meet each other. Like,
did they meet at the wedding?
No. It was.
They set them up. Like, it was a match.
They set them up.
Yeah. I was hoping that they met each other at the wedding. That way I can be like, holy shit, this is the office.
No, they set them up.
But except it's Michael Scott and Pam's mom.
Pam's mom.
So technically they're stepbrother and sister, but married.
That's amazing.
Yep.
I love it. I love it. But here, a little more messy, because like
a lot more messy.
Bread. Fully. There's there's a lot that happens too. Like Joffrey and Cersei whispering. Tyrion and his wine. Soon as Sansa gets up, Joffrey moves to leave and Cersei's like, hey, what if you didn't? So to her credit, she tried.
She did try.
She did.
Like, what if you just
I put that in here. I put Cersei tried to stop Joffrey from shenanigans.
From shenanigans. That's
what I'm just going to call it. Shenanigans.
So then, once Sansa has left the table, here comes Tywin to tell his, to like remind his second son, you need to put a baby in this sow immediately.
Tonight.
Like,
tonight.
Breed her immediately.
Now, I'm surprised he didn't tell her to bend her over the table and do it right there.
He's real thirsty, isn't he? Tyrion's fully not about it, but he is a drunken little lust-filled beast. And Tywin has a lovely stare down with Olenna. Like, your granny sometimes really just hates her brother.
My point that I did make in here is that everything is about Tywin. Like, Tywin is, like we said before, Like, he's running shit. What he says goes. Better put a baby in her tonight.
Yeah. But you know who's not getting a baby put in her tonight? Is Cersei. And certainly not by Loras, because she doesn't even want to hear shit that he got to say.
Yo, Cersei is fed up.
I put in there, I said, good try, Loras. Good try.
He made an effort, and good on him. Like, maybe we can get along. Like, we like the same things. Like, we could probably have a cute little key. And she's like, absolutely not, you twink. I don't want anything to do with you. Get away from me.
Yeah, they could have been like Rhaenyra and that dude.
Yeah.
That I forgot his name.
I can't remember it either, suddenly. Lucerys? No, that was one of her kids.
Whatever, dude.
Yep.
That dude.
But yeah, no common ground.
Yeah, none at all.
She said, get away from me.
And that.
Yo, blind rankings. James, what does this rank on your worst wedding list? Blind rankings. This is miserable.
Well, it is, because now Sansa on her wedding day gets to be threatened with sexual assault. That's neat. That's neat.
I ain't never in my life seen somebody who just thinks they're so tough.
He really does. Like, he, and like, ooh, what a monster. I do also want to remind you that you said that, like, what Sansa goes through is not mental. Like, when you were talking about her versus Arya, and you're like, one of them goes through more physical and one of them is more mental. Does this not seem like mental anguish to you?
I stand on my point.
Okay.
Go back to season one, episode four, whatever it was, when I made my point.
What you're saying,
well, and we'll talk about it in season like 7 and 8.
So what you're saying is, this light threat of sexual assault is not like will not take a mental toll on.
It will, but is it gonna? Okay, is it gonna be? I can't even say it. Never mind. Oh,
gonna be? Yes, yeah. It is.
Huh?
Yes, it is, because physical assault also takes an emotional toll, especially on children.
Yeah, but like, okay.
Yeah.
Semantics.
That's what I thought.
Semantics.
Anyways.
Yeah, let me get me a therapist so I can get my shit together.
Mm-hmm. You should. Anyway, time for the bedding ceremony. Oh, no, wait. That won't be fucking happening, bitch. Not on my watch. Tyrion's a good man, Savannah.
Yo, I thought maybe Tyrion was about to do the thing. He said. I thought he was about to do it.
Wooden cock doesn't sound like it would be too pleasurable. So perhaps Joffrey should shut the fuck up.
Right. All right. How does Tyrion get away with this?
Tywin?
Why does Tywin let him get away with this?
Because Tywin knows he's drunk.
Yeah, but Tywin because wants any reason to kill him, like we talked about
Tywin,
before.
See, now there was no reason to keep Tyrion around. Now that he's married to Sansa, they need to keep
Tyrion around. This is his only lifeline here.
So this is why he lets it slide.
Also, like, nobody wins when the family feuds. Like,
Jay-Z.
Exactly. I'm not going to have you.
Anytime somebody recites a rap lyric,
Jay-Z,
I get excited.
Jay-Z. Oh,
I get excited. But now, if you're like reciting, like, I don't know, Lil Baby or somebody, I can't help you. I ain't gonna know it. It's gonna go over my head.
I know one Lil Baby song.
But us people in our 30s, the Jay-Z lyrics, I'll catch them every time.
But yes, like, I'm not gonna show a rift in our family, and you're not gonna kill your uncle. Like, you're simply not gonna kill your uncle. Like, let's be fucking for real about it. He's drunk. He's an idiot. And I know what you're doing is just being needlessly cruel for shits and giggles. So I'm not going to give you what you want either.
So. Yeah, I guess Tywin is the glue that holds it all together.
He is.
What a man. What a man.
What a mighty good man. Say it again, TJ.
What a man, what a man.
What a man.
What a mighty good man.
He's a mighty, mighty good man. So, the two...
We're really showing our age here. Although the Jay-Z lyric is newer. But, yeah.
So, the two people in all of King's Landing who absolutely have to watch everything that they say now for the rest of their lives go to bed together. Ginge, did you think Tyrion was going to do it?
I said that in this scene, I was like, I know like Tyrion's a decent dude, but to have to deal with him drunk and Sansa being 14 and never having to have had sex, I was like, if they did, like, I would feel really bad for Sansa.
No, she took that drink though.
Girl.
But she did.
Sure did. Wine was tasty. I wonder if it was as tasty as the wine Gendry had.
Yeah, like she was not like orgasming over the wine like Gendry was.
But he does give her a choice. Like, she's given a choice for the first time in this whole situation. And it's really nice that he's like, listen, we can share your bed whenever you're ready. Whenever yep. you're ready.
That made me really proud of Tyrion right here.
Yes. Tyrion is not going to take advantage of this child bride. She is very lucky because there are a lot of men in King's Landing who would not have given a shit about her comfort.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But then it all comes to bite Tyrion in the ass and then because then he gets asked the question, what if I'm never ready? And then you start to feel bad for Tyrion.
No, you don't, because Tyrion's
rich. He got Shay.
He's got Shay, and even if he doesn't have Shay, he's rich. He's going to fuck somebody. He will find
her. Yeah, but still, man. Tyrion's doing the right thing and ain't, but he ain't get repaid for it.
That's what makes it the right thing. It's not about what you get paid back for it.
Gendry! Gendry, now here you go again.
Got me. Got me.
Saving the man once again. Look at you. Wow.
Usually it's me saving men. Anyway. It's recorded. Like you've said it before. So,
anyways, good news. When Shay comes in because she's pissed. She is pissed until she pulls them sheets back, and she sees that like everything is intact, especially Sansa's hymen.
And that thing's dry.
Yeah,
she was dry. Looking for blood. Like let's. I know what you think she was looking for.
No. I understand.
Filthy.
Still dry.
It is. And she's
still wet. I knew what she was.
Not Tyrion's a good man. Not Tyrion's a good man, girl. Maybe you should have a pass full of brats that might die if their grandfather ever finds out about them. You'll be fine.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. But do you think Sansa will change her mind about sharing her bed with Tyrion?
No.
Do you think they'll be married long enough for that?
No.
What do you think will be the dissolution of this marriage?
Rob showing up at King's Landing and them getting into a big war, and I think that Tyrion is not going to help his father in the war.
Okay. All right. I like that.
I love that.
Right?
I love that. I fucking love it.
Hand hurt.
I ain't got to say shit else. No. Y'all do the quotes without me.
Well, we can't go to the quotes yet because first we have to go beyond the wall. Second son. Randall's technically first son, but he doesn't like him, so he's his second son.
Yeah, I was going to say, hold up. Sam is not the second son.
He is not, but he's treated as one.
Yeah.
Kills. Well, he does the thing. The gag is. Ginge. The gag. What did you think of the uses of dragon glass?
It makes sense.
No, we know.
As to why they buried it up there where the first men were.
With the weapons, yeah. Dragon glass kills whites because we saw what they do, what steel does to them. Nothing.
Nothing.
It simply explodes.
You know how bad his hands had to hurt when he hit that steel and it was making that noise and the vibration noise? Oh my God, it's cold too.
Yeah, it would have hurt. That would have hurt. Yeah.
But he and Gilly find a shack to hide out in. She gives him the baby to hold while she makes a fire like a man's job is. And the whole time they're talking about this baby's name, like, the crows are, like, steadily getting louder and seemingly more plentiful.
Not gonna lie, when I first saw the bird, I was like, is the three-eyed raven something to deal with Sam and the girl and the baby?
I did put a note in my shit, all the ravens, which I can't differentiate between a raven and a crow in this series, so I have no idea if it was a raven or a crow. So
I know how to differentiate, well, in this series, but I know how to do it in real life. Somebody said, if you see a black bird and it's the biggest bird you're like, that's the biggest bird I've ever seen in my life, that's a raven.
Yeah, none of these are the biggest birds I've ever seen in my life.
No.
Like, even the raven that he's following, that, like, calls like a crow. But
right?
And they say it's a raven. I don't know. I have no idea what we're looking at.
I actually just wrote down, is this an Alfred Hitchcock movie? And then Sam turns into Tippi Hedren, and they're running away from the birds.
I'm nodding like I get that reference.
My mom is old. My mom was born in 53. I've seen a lot.
Well, the raven is Edgar Allan Poe, and then the birds is Alfred Hitchcock's. Like, come on,
man. I know Edgar Allan Poe's. I knew that one. But the other guy threw me off.
You've never heard of the...
You don't know who Alfred Hitchcock is? We just
talked about
is?
How... Look, we talked about earlier in this episode how cultured we are. Like, leave me alone. Get out of my face.
Well, hopefully Gilly won't name her baby Randall after all of this.
No,
please.
You better not.
He wanted her to name him Sam Jr.
Interesting theory.
I can see it in his eyes. He really wanted it.
Like, I want this baby so bad.
Yup.
Please name it after me.
Yup.
Anything else about Sam and Gilly? Jen, notice any like people in the background, or like when the white broke apart, you could actually see like the real guy's leg that was in.
Nah. One thing. When he stabbed the white and it shattered. The blade dropped to the ground. He grabbed Gilly and took off running. Why would you not pick the blade back up? Because you know damn well you're going to need it again, because now you know what the hell it does.
Good point.
I'm scared.
Like, nah. Like, that, you now know that that is your only way to survive.
Well, I guess we'll have to find out, because that was Game of Thrones Season 3, Episode 8, Second Sons. Who are we pouring out for, TJ?
The two guys, what are the names? The Second Sons?
Yes, Marrow and the other gentleman.
Yeah, I knew like the other one was like, I was gonna say Mira, but I was like, that's not right.
Yeah, it's Mero.
It's not a day.
I want to say it's like Prinsdahl or something, but yeah, them. And we could pour one out for the white.
I mean, sure.
Well, we at least we didn't miss anyone super important. Like, oh,
every day in America, I pour one out for the whites. So,
appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Now for our quote segment. Let's take it with the pointy end. Ginge, since like two of yours got taken last week, you can go first.
And one might get taken again. So yeah, let me get first so his can get taken. All right, so my first one is comes from Danny. She says, a man who fights for gold can't afford to lose to a girl.
That's why TJ be emotional in the group chat.
you just got called out, bro.
I ain't got nothing to say. I ain't gonna say it here.
The next one's from Davos. He says, "Forgive me, Your Grace. I'm not a lettered man, but is there a difference between kill and sacrifice?" And
good question.
There is no difference.
Good question, Davos.
And then the next one is from Cersei, and it's, "If you ever call me sister again, I'll have you strangled in your sleep."
Wow, that was mine.
No, not you.
Yes. Mine,
and I let you go first.
Yes.
Do you see?
We all had it. Great minds think alike.
Yep. And then my last one is from Tyrion. "I am the god of tits and wine."
You know what? I knew.
Well, that was mine too.
I knew.
That was mine as well.
All right.
All right, let me go.
We call that get shit on.
Yeah, absolute shit on. How many do I have now? I have two now. Let me just go ahead and go. Let me knock mine out. So my first one comes from Arya when she tells the Hound, "There's no one worse than you." And then she finds out, you know what? He's not that bad.
Real time. In real
yeah, like it all happens in the same scene. I had this right then and there. And then my next one is from Stannis, even though you already said it after I was like, hey, save it for the quote section. "I saw a vision in the flames, a great battle in the snow."
Okay.
The Lord of Light. That's it. That's all I got left. So, you know, my other ones were taken.
Okay, cool. Then I've got one. So my first, Stannis, "You slaughtered many lambs," and Melisandre said, "and none have seen the blade." And then when Stannis says, "The darkness will devour them all," she says, "The night that never ends unless I triumph." And then Tyrion, "If my father wants someone to get fucked, I know where he can start." Party. All right, Jinj. Blind rankings.
Which spots do we have left?
One, two, and three.
One, two, and three. See, I don't like your blind rankings.
I don't like them either. That's why they're blind, though.
You played it too safe. That's why I don't like your rankings.
Nah. I think I'm going to go with, this is the title of this episode is called Second Son, so I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay.
Okay, that makes me feel good about better about your rankings.
All right, so now we're splitting 9 and 10. Ooh. Ooh. And in the spirit of that, I will say recap episode is coming up. And I just, after next week, Denj, I might have a question to pose to you.
Okay.
About the recap episode.
Okay.
All right. So just bear that in mind. Bear that in mind. But so knowing that, like, the thing hasn't happened. Are you at this point, like, a little bit on edge? Because you're like, when?
Yes.
Like, have we sufficiently made you excited to, like, find out what it is?
All right, so I am ready to find out what this is. However, if I find out what this is and it's not as great as y'all say it is, then the rest of the season, like the rest of the entire series, is going to be kind of a drag.
Okay.
So I hope it lives up.
All right. Oh, TJ, I thought you were frozen. You just stopped moving. Okay.
No, I was frozen.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I just didn't want to say anything.
All right, well, let's hope when we get there, it lives up. Let's, fingers crossed, because we really have, like, it's mostly me. Like, I've really played it up.
I've only done this podcast to get to this point, to be honest with you. If we never record another episode, I'm
so fucking ready. I told my therapist that we're almost there. I was like, we are in the home stretch. She was like,
so
oh,
look,
excited.
Is this James. Is this the stuff that where you were worried that I would get spoiled for
yes.
me?
Yes. Okay. And if this, like, once this happens, if something happens in a fantasy league that I don't agree with, I might just quit the shit as it is. Like, I'll be fine with it.
Fine with me, girl.
If one more goddamn trade.
Here you go, being emotional over gold again.
Anyhow, yeah, damn right. Because I want that ring. And I will be emotional over that ring after I get it this year. So it's all good. I'm going to be a fucking emotional person.
Okay.
I'm definitely not getting it.
9-1.
Is it too late for me to tank?
9-1 and the Steelers are 7-2.
You're feeling great. Okay.
We happy.
All it takes is one bad week in the playoffs. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of Charges of the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. Don't forget to rate and review us. You can follow me at Lauren Lovegood, G-O-O-D-E, on everything. So on behalf of Gingy, the New Orleans State's fan account, and TJ, I'm Lauren Lovegood.
The eye roll I just gave you.
I'm Lauren Lovegood, and we will see you next time. And now, unlike Tyrion, our watch has ended. His has only just begun.